Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, where you can get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL team, including the Pacers, right here. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and on today's episode, we'll look back at the Warriors' 120-83 win over the Pacers on Monday night at the Fieldhouse. And it would be easier to say the game wasn't as close as the score indicates, but that would just be cruel to the Pacers, who were playing vastly shorthanded during the game, not to mention on the back half of a back-to-back. So we got to cut them a little slack for this one, as the Warriors came in and took care of business. Speaking of playing shorthanded, we'll also give you an injury update with the latest information from Nick McMillan and the Pacers as they prepare to continue their homestand on Wednesday against the Atlanta Hawks. So please make sure you check in. Any questions and comments, you can find me on email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. So where should we start? With injuries or the game? It's hard to start the game without those injuries. Briefly, we can say the Pacers played without Paul George, ankle injury. Miles Turner, ankle injury, suffered on Sunday towards the end of the Pacers' win over OKC, and C.J. Miles' knee injury out as well. So Pacers were down quite a big chunk of points in their starting lineup as Glenn Robinson III started in place of PG and Al Jefferson started in place of Miles Turner. And from there, the Pacers were vastly outmanned by the Warriors. So it seemed like the Warriors were kind of playing in first gear most of the game, especially early on. And they had trouble finding the range early before Klay Thompson kind of got things going, jump-started them. Pacers did lead the game 2-0, but once Klay hit a three, they took a lead and never looked back. And the lead just kind of gradually grew throughout the game, and the Warriors were well in control by half, and then it was garbage time by the time fourth quarter started, and the score really remained around 20 points, but then exploded towards the end as the Pacers bench guys in garbage time really couldn't find the range and just struggled to score, only putting up 12 points in the fourth quarter. So, George Niang, for one, was struggled, missed six shots on the night, so hopefully he'll get some time out there and make a bucket or two, get a little confidence in his game. I know he struggled a little bit in some brief moments in OKC as well, so might be feeling a little overwhelmed by the NBA game as he's getting his feet wet for the first time in his career. But garbage time wasn't where the game was won and lost. It was definitely a Warriors vicious attack on O. They just kept shooting and scoring. They didn't, again, shoot great, but they did make 13 threes on the night, while the Pacers shot 103 field goal attempts. They only made 33 of those, and they only made 6 of 23 from three-point land, and really struggled to get good shots. Warriors' defense was long. They were switching everything, and the Pacers couldn't move the ball to create good opportunities, mainly because of the switching, but they didn't move their bodies and try and create or force the defense to move around with them and use that switching against them. So what you had was a lot of one-on-one dribbles. I think I looked at 60% of the field goal attempts by the Pacers were unassisted attempts. So, you know, compared to the Warriors, who I think theirs were closer to, you know, 20-25%. So that just tells you the ball got stuck a lot, and Pacers were forced to dribble and create a shot. I know one key thing I was kind of looking at in this game, since it looked pretty hopeless from the beginning just because of the situation, not only the injuries, but honestly playing a back-to-back game after an overtime win in Oklahoma City, whereas the Warriors were resting here at the Conrad and ready to play again. That alone was another big factor that sucked some of the energy out of the Pacers. So one thing I really kind of wanted to focus on the game within the game was to see how Glenn Robinson III reacted, getting his second start after playing a great game in OKC, and now, you know, facing up against Kevin Durant, and when not he, then Klay Thompson. And defensively, I thought, you know, he was fine, up for the battle. There were a few times early in the game offensively where he seemed a little gun-shy. A couple of times the ball swung to him, and if he was really ready to go, he could have fired up a shot or pump faked and made a move to the hoop. But he was a little hesitant to do so, and then it was kind of hot potato time getting rid of the ball. And he did make a couple threes in the first, or especially early in the game. He hit one three, and he made a couple during the game. But there were opportunities where the ball got to him, and he kind of froze in time for a beat or two, and that clogged things up. And when that happened, and it wasn't just Robinson, but that was a good example of where the ball, when they did try to move it around, if it got stuck, then someone was dribbling and trying to force up a shot. Normally, that was Monte Ellis, Jeff Teague, or Rodney Stuckey. Now, Stuckey was doing a lot of that off the bench. He led the team with 21 points, but he was creating a lot of that on his own. Did get to the line a few times, but I was joking that he was running the dribble-drive offense. He would dribble and then drive. So wasn't a pretty effort on the offensive end from the Pacers, and a lot of credit goes to the Warriors because of their length and ability to easily switch and rotate and cover and be quick to the ball. And again, when the Pacers weren't able to make them work, it was a struggle to get good shots. And that's where you had a team shooting 32% for the night and barely, you know, just scoring 83 points. So an anemic offensive night. And really, it's hard to, again, be too critical overall just because of the situation of the game and the fact the Warriors were ready to roll. And they took care of business. Klay Thompson led the Warriors with 25 points. And Curry and Durant, you know, picked their spots. They were more willing passers. They actually got fouled more, really, than they shot the ball. This is the type of game it was, really. I think the highlight of the game came out of a shot that didn't count. Steph Curry at the end of the half grabbed a rebound, and it's kind of funny, you know, a couple seconds left, he gets a rebound into the hoop, and no one's taking their eye off him because they know he's going to launch up a wild shot. But fortunately for the Pacers, Thad Young was aware of that and made sure to contest that shot and force Curry to double clutch before launching a 70-footer from the other free throw line, which, of course, went straight in the hoop, and the crowd loved it. It was quite a shot. It was well after the buzzer, so it didn't matter. But again, big crowd at the field house, as you can imagine, for the Warriors. A lot of blue and gold, although there were a lot of Warriors blue and gold. Kids love those Warriors, especially Steph Curry. So they show up in the jerseys and bring the family along, and that fills up the house. But it's kind of a bummer in that sense that the Pacers were so shorthanded. It turned out to be almost like a scrimmage, the way the game played out, because the Warriors were definitely there. They went through what they had to do to get things over with, but it was never in doubt to be kind. So I guess on to the injury news, which is more important at this point. As I mentioned, Paul George and Miles Turner both out with ankle injuries. And CJ Miles is still out with the knee injury. Still haven't really heard how severe that may be, although Nate McMillan did say, if you're putting them kind of in order, that Paul and Miles, he would assume, would be back before CJ would be back. So that kind of gives you a gauge, and I think they kind of hope if Paul and Miles aren't back by Wednesday when the Pacers play the Hawks, maybe they'll be ready on Friday. It doesn't seem like there's a big concern that's going to last too much longer. So there was a scare in the third quarter. Jeff Teague drove through the lane, and this was right about the time where he was probably going to come out of the game for good. Then came out hobbling and went to the bench and eventually exited back to the locker room. So that was a scary scene, but following the game, he mentioned that he wasn't concerned with it and could have gone back in the game if he needed to, but obviously the game was over. So hopefully that's the case. We've kind of heard that before. You know, I mean, Miles Turner, after he twisted his ankle in Oklahoma City, went and finished the game, played on it, but you never know how ankles are going to respond once it cooled down, and if it swells up or gets really tender, it can cause problems. But the Pacers are taking the day off on Tuesday, no practice, so I think it's going to be treatment day instead of practice. Everybody rest up, get healthy. If you're not injured, then take care of your body and get ready for the Hawks, who come in on Wednesday. Always tough matchup against a team that the Pacers expect to be battling in the playoff race in the East, and they will be coming in on a back-to-back, so that might help even things out a little bit, since the Pacers, if they are shorthanded a bit, will at least catch the Hawks in a back-to-back. They play the Pelicans on Tuesday night. So that will be game two of this four-game homestand, with the Brooklyn Nets coming in on Friday, the annual late Friday game after the circle tree lighting downtown at 8 o'clock. And then on Saturday or Sunday evening, the LA Clippers are in town. So nothing's getting easy, and the Pacers are going to need some health to turn around in a hurry as this deadly stretch in the schedule continues. Now, before the game, Steve Kerr was asked about, you know, kind of his assessment of the Pacers, and had, as you would imagine, good things to say about what he saw from the Pacers, and mentioned he hasn't seen a lot of them, but watched a couple of their games on tape before the game, and really thought they had some good talent and were heading in the right direction for developing into a stronger team as the year would go on. He also kind of joked that he was going to tell his team that the Pacers were extremely shorthanded and that the game should be easy, as opposed to what you might hear from a coach normally, or that you don't want to ever over or underestimate an opponent that's hurt and think you got the game in the bag. You know, he kind of joked that, again, reiterating that, please, I'm joking, don't tweet out that I said this was going to be an easy game. But he kind of said that kind of speech you might think from a high school coach isn't really necessary with that group that he has. So, and they played like it. They were pros, went out, took care of business, even if they were able to do so without getting into even third gear, really, it seemed like at times. So he also talked about David West and what he's brought to the Pacers. West is continuing his quest for that ring after playing with the Spurs last season, and is playing in a reserve role. He saw some time against the Pacers and scored, you know, played about 15 minutes. That's what he's been playing, about 10, 15 minutes, as Kurt said, mainly a backup center role. He had 7 points and 4 rebounds, and actually drew some boos when he first scored, and also had a rough foul on Thad Young that was called. I think Thad Young did a good job of selling it, but regardless, he caught him with the shoulder. But it seemed like there were a chunk of the fan base that was making sure they didn't appreciate him leaving the big money on the table to join the Spurs last year. So I always thought Wes was the consummate pro, and talk about being an adult in the locker room, which is how Kerr described him with this team, being a guy who doesn't say a lot, but when he talks, everybody listens, and he has their attention, and he had that role with the Pacers as well, with some teams that really needed it, and you know, I always appreciate his time here and what he gave to those teams that were battling in the Eastern Conference Finals. So always wish him luck, and hope, you know, good to see him back in Indy, even if it is for a brief time. So that will about wrap up what turned out to be kind of an anticlimactic Warriors visit for their annual visit to the Fieldhouse. With the holiday week, I had some traveling, so podcasts will continue tomorrow, but Thursday, Friday may be off, depending upon when I'm out on the road. You never know. So make sure you share your comments, thoughts about the Pacers, what you think they might need to do, if anything, here going forward. You can reach me at email at indiecornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indiecornrows. Also, you can find the pod on audioboom.com, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where you can find all the past episodes. So check them out. That's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
Takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa auto parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.